Back last May, this past May, we began a study called Growing Up. Growing Up, and we're not talking about natural growth or chronological growth, but we're talking about spiritual growth in our walk with God. So we've been on this study called Growing Up Spiritually in our relationship with God. And last week we talked about our loving Heavenly Father in honor of Father's Day, but we're going to continue this week on this series called Growing Up. And think about it this way, friends. Some people out there are 40 years old. In the natural, they're 40 years old, right? In the natural. But deep down on the inside is a little boy inside that 40-year-old man's body. Some women out there are 40 or 50 years old, but inside that woman's body is a little girl crying out. And it's the same way spiritually, if you think about it. You know, there's people out there that claim they've been in the church for 20, 30, 40, or 50 years. There's some people out there that claim, quote unquote, that they've been a Christian. I've been a Christian, quote unquote, for 40 years or 50 years, but still, they're spiritual babies, because for them, Christianity is all about me, myself, and I. They've remained spiritual babies in the church. Some people have this concept about Christianity being that if I become a Christian, if I remain a Christian, I'm going to increase materially, or I'll always be healthy, or I'll have so much money and increase in wealth, and I'll have victory in every instance, and that's good. God wants to give us the victory. But you know what? The Christian walk also involves, at times and many times, dying to self. Jesus said it, right? If anybody wants to be my follower, he must take up his cross daily and follow me. So maturing in our spiritual walk with God also involves dying to self. Amen? Is that making sense? Yeah. The last time we spoke on this subject and on growing up, we talked about obedience to what God is telling you to do. You know, we can listen with our spiritual ears to what God is telling us to do. He might be telling you to go to a certain church or move to a certain city or to do a certain thing for somebody. And it's one thing to listen to what God is saying, right? That's half the puzzle in our walk with God. What is the other half of the puzzle? And we talked about this 2 weeks ago. It's actually acting upon obeying what God is telling you to do. You know, obeying what God is telling you to do is doing God's best for your life. Your own finite natural mind might be saying, well, it might be a good idea, sounds and looks like a good idea to attend such and such a church. Or it sounds like a good idea to move to New Orleans. Or it sounds like a really good idea to move to Dallas. But the Spirit of God is saying, no, I want you to stay in Tulsa. See, doing what God is telling you to do, obeying the voice of God, is doing God's best for your life. Because only God can see 10, 20, 30, 40, 50 years into your future. Amen? And if you do today what he's telling you to do, your end is going to be awesome. You will fulfill what God has called you to fulfill on this earth. You will have positive consequences in your life. Obedience to God brings about what? It brings about rewards. Disobedience brings what? Negative consequences. It brings the curse. Now, today we're going to talk about another way that we can grow from being a spiritual baby to being a spiritual adult in our walk with God. Now, a baby in the natural is always thinking about what? A toddler, a two-year-old, a baby is always thinking about what? He said it. It's thinking about himself, herself. It's about me, myself, and I, right? It's what I want here and now. My food, my shelter, you know, what I want to do with my own little life. And a baby, a toddler, is always thinking about itself. You know, it hasn't matured. But an adult, in the natural, what does an adult do? As opposed to a toddler? An adult thinks of others. A responsible adult who has a family thinks about his children's needs, his spouse's needs, before his own, right? He puts aside time to provide for his family. He spends his time providing for his family. He pays back into society the taxes that he owes. So he's giving out of himself. Is that making sense? A responsible adult is giving out of himself as opposed to a child who is always taking into itself. And it's the same way spiritually. The difference between a spiritual babe and a spiritual adult is what? What does a spiritual adult do as opposed to a spiritual baby? Anybody have any ideas? A spiritual adult steps out of himself, herself, to serve those that are less fortunate than he, than she. Let me say it again. A spiritual adult, one who is growing in their walk with God, steps out beyond himself to reach somebody who is less fortunate than he is. Does that make sense? You might be thinking today, well, Jonathan, I'm in such great need myself. How can I step out beyond myself to reach out to somebody else when I'm in such great need? You can, friends, and you have a responsibility in the body of Christ to reach out beyond yourself. If you really want to move from being a spiritual baby, a spiritual toddler, into being a spiritual adult, you've got to start reaching out beyond yourself. How good is your serve? So today we're talking about your serve. Say it with me today. My serve.
My serve.
How good is it?
Good.
All right. Let's see what Jesus has to say about serving others. But before that, I want to read a couple of quotes. A couple of quotes. One by Hudson Taylor. And this is what he says. Listen to this. He says, I used to ask God to help me. Then I asked if I might help him. I ended up asking him to do his work through me. See, at one time, he felt like a spiritual baby. God, help me, help me, help me. And then he grew up and he asked if I might help him. That's good, isn't it? Another person, Albert Schweitzer, says this: those who are truly happy are those who have learned to serve. So now, back to this. What does Jesus have to say about serving others? And I think I might actually have one more here before we go on. Grenfell, I'm sorry. The service we render for others is really the rent we pay for our room on this earth. Wilfred Grenfell. Now, what does Jesus the greatest have to say about serving? All right. Turn to Luke chapter 22 if you have a Bible. Put some Bibles out there. We're going to read from verses 24 through 27. Jesus was having the Last Supper with the disciples, and a dispute arose among the disciples. Luke 22, verse 24. And it says, also a dispute arose among them as to which of them was considered to be the greatest. Verse 25 of Luke 22. Jesus said to them, the kings of the Gentiles lord it over them, and those who exercise authority over them call themselves benefactors. But you are not to be like that. Instead, the greatest among you should be like the youngest, and the one who rules like the one who serves. For who is greater, the one who is at the table or the one who serves? Is it not the one who is at the table? According to the world's thinking, Jesus was saying, the one who is at the table is considered the greatest. But I am among you as the one who serves. And if Jesus, the greatest, God the Son himself in human flesh, served those who were in need of help, how much more so should we, his followers? Let me say it again. If Jesus Christ, the greatest, God the Son, served those that were in need, how much more so should we? If Jesus humbled himself and left the splendor of heaven, the beauty of heaven, to come to a sin-riddled world to serve the lost, to save the lost, how much more so should we, his followers? He is our model to follow. Jesus said, I am among you as the one who serves. He says, you know, according to the world's thinking, the one at the table is the greatest. But in the kingdom of God, friends, let me tell you this. The principles in the kingdom of God sometimes seem to be upside down. In order to be great in the kingdom of God, you've got to become what? The least. You've got to serve. The world says, in order to increase in wealth, you've got to save, 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 and invest. How is it in the kingdom of God? In the kingdom of God, in order to increase, you've got to give, give, give. In the kingdom of God, things seem to be upside down at times, but This is the way it is in the kingdom of God. If you want to be great in God's kingdom, you've got to be the servant of all. Say it with me. If I want to be great in God's kingdom, I've got to be the servant of all. General Douglas MacArthur says this, "Be ashamed to die until you have done something for humanity." Now, Jesus gave an awesome parable on servanthood. The parable of the Good Samaritan, Luke chapter 10. If anybody has a Bible, turn there. If not, I'll just read it. Luke chapter 10, verse 25. It's an awesome parable. I love this parable. Okay. Verse 25 of Luke chapter 10. On one occasion, an expert in the law, a lawyer, stood up to test Jesus. "Teacher," he asked, "what must I do to inherit eternal life?" "What is written in the law?" he replied. "How do you read it?" He answered, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with your strength, and with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself." "You have answered correctly," Jesus replied. "Do this and you will live." But he wanted to justify himself, so he asked Jesus, "Jesus, and who is my neighbor?" In reply, Jesus said, "A man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho when he fell into the hands of robbers." And most likely, this man who was going from Jerusalem to Jericho was a Jew. He fell into the hands of robbers. They stripped him of his clothes, beat him, and went away, leaving him half dead. So this man was bleeding to death. A priest happened to be going down the same road, and when he saw the man, he passed by it on the other side, by him on the other side. So to a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. So we have a priest and a Levite, the religious ones, who really should have stepped out beyond themselves to help this man, and they did not. They just ignored him. What a shame, right? That's what religion does to you. Religion just kind of saps you of the love of God. It's not about religion. Christianity is not about religion. It's about a relationship with Christ. Amen? But a Samaritan, verse 33, as he traveled, came to where the man was. And when he saw him, he took pity on him. This Samaritan was moved with the love of God. His serve was awesome. He went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. Then he put the man on his own donkey, took him to an inn, and took care of him. The next day he took out 2 silver coins and gave them to the innkeeper. "Look after him," he said, "and when I return, I will reimburse you for any extra expense you may have had." Which of these three do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of robbers? The expert in the law replied, "The one who had mercy on him." Jesus told him, "Go and do likewise." This Samaritan was truly what? What kind of person? He was a servant-hearted person. He had the God kind of serve. How many here want the God kind of serve? All of us, right? We've got to be moved with the love and the compassion of Christ to have the God kind of serve. And this Samaritan sacrificed several things to help this bleeding Jew. What did this Samaritan sacrifice to help and serve the bleeding Jew who was beaten? He sacrificed several things. Number one, he sacrificed his reputation. You've got to understand that there were racial animosities between the Samaritans and the Jews. There's a lot of detail behind it, but Samaritans and Jews did not mingle. They really didn't have anything to do with each other. But the Samaritan stepped across racial boundaries with the love of God, and he served this bleeding Jew. That's awesome, isn't it? There's another thing that the Samaritan sacrificed. What did he sacrifice? A second thing. He sacrificed his time. You see, the Samaritan was on his way somewhere, and he saw this bleeding Jew, and he stopped and rescheduled his schedule. He took time out of his busy schedule to help this bleeding Jew. He spent his time. He sacrificed his time to help somebody who was less fortunate than himself. And he sacrificed the third thing, his resources. He brought that bleeding Jew to an inn and gave the innkeeper money and said, "If there's any extra expense, let me know and I will reimburse you." And friend, I'm here to tell you today, this Samaritan stepped out of himself. He was mature. He was a spiritual adult in his relationship with God. Would you agree? And I'm here to tell you today that when you step out of yourself to serve somebody else, it's not always going to be comfortable. Another thing that we will sacrifice in serving others is our own comfort. You know, spending our time, spending our reputation, spending our resources, doing it when it doesn't feel good, doing it when it's 100 degrees outside, doing it when it's freezing outside, finding somebody in greater need than yourself and putting aside self, even though it's not comfortable, and reaching out to touch that person with the love of God. That's awesome, isn't it? You may not get a word of appreciation on this earth or a reward on this earth, but guess what? When you step out of yourself like the Samaritan to help somebody in greater need than yourself, guess who remembers it? Guess who records it in the annals of heaven? Guess who it is? God. He remembers it. And when you enter eternity, one day God will say to you, "Well done, my good and faithful servant. Enter into my rest." People on earth may not recognize it, your act of service. They may not realize, they may not thank you. They may just immediately forget about it, but God never does. It will be recorded in heaven. And the greatest in the universe, the creator of the universe, heaven and earth, himself will reward you eternally. He will say, "Well done." Amen? Now listen to this. Another one. Another little thing I'd like to share with you here. Think about this. Think about this. At the close of life, Nathan Schaefer says, at the close of life, the question will not be how much you have gotten, but how much you have given. Not how much you have won, but how much you have done. Not how much you have saved, but how much you have sacrificed. Not how much you were honored, but how much you have served. You got to listen to this, guys. And you might be thinking today, but Jonathan, I'm in such great need myself. How really could I step out beyond myself and help somebody else? Friends, I'm here to tell you today, just remember this, if nothing else today. There is somebody out there today in Tulsa that is in greater need than you. Remember the Good Samaritan in Luke chapter 10. They were from different kind of cultures. They thought differently. Their customs were different. They probably dressed a little differently. And there may be somebody out there that doesn't look like you, doesn't talk like you, doesn't think like you, doesn't smell like you, doesn't eat the food that you eat. But guess what? When you touch that person with the love of God, you're touching Jesus himself. There's somebody out there on the streets of Tulsa today in greater need than you. Do you know that there's somebody out there today having to live in the 100-degree weather, not having the benefit of the AC here in the shelter? There's somebody out there in greater need than you. Did you know that there's somebody out there tonight that's going to have to sleep under a bridge or on a street corner or doesn't know where his next meal is coming from and his next glass of water is coming from? But you have all those things provided here. Just remember this. There is always somebody out there in greater need, less fortunate than you. And you can reach out to that person with the love of God and serve them. And remember this, God, creator of heaven and earth, remembers the good that you do. Is that good news? Jesus said in Matthew 25:40, "For as much as you've done it to the least of these, you have done it to me." When you touch that person on the street corner who doesn't have a place to live, when you give that person a cup of coffee, a glass of water, a word of encouragement, a hug, some of your time, guess what? You're touching a person with flesh and blood, but ultimately, you're touching Jesus himself. If Jesus were to walk into this room today in flesh and blood, we would all stand at attention, right? All stand at attention. Jesus, what do you want me to do? Stand up. Jump. Jesus, how high do you want me to jump? Right? We would just stand at attention to Jesus. Guess what? When you walk out on the streets, when you walk around the shelter and find somebody in greater need than you, that is Jesus in disguise. And you can be the hands and the feet of Jesus to that person. As I said, a hug to the lonely is a way to serve. A word of encouragement to the depressed. There may be somebody out there who's downtrodden, lost a family member, lost a job, lost resources. And you can tell them, "You know what? God loves you and I believe in you." That's serving. An act of service for the helpless. Somebody out there with a flat tire, an older person, doesn't have the physical strength to change that tire, and you stop and help them, guess what? That's serving with the love of God. That making sense?
Yes.
Spending your time with somebody who is lonely, taking a 30 minutes out of your day and just talking with somebody who hasn't talked to somebody for days. Buying lunch for somebody who hasn't had a meal for 2 or 3 days. That's serving with the love of God. That's reaching out beyond yourself to somebody who is in greater need than you. Is that making sense? Now remember this. Every act of stepping out of yourself is an act of weakening yourself. Is an act of putting death to self and strengthening your love walk with God and others. Let me say it again. Every act of stepping out of yourself when it's not comfortable and serving somebody else is an act of weakening self, putting death to self, and strengthening your love walk with God and with others. Every time you serve, you step out of yourself and you serve and do what does not feel comfortable, it strengthens your love walk with God and others. But every time you hold back and you don't reach out, guess what? Every time you hold back and don't reach out to somebody in greater need than you, what is it doing? It is strengthening self and weakening your love walk with God and others. Every time God is speaking to you by His Spirit and tells you, I want you to reach this person with my love, speak into this person's life, give them a hug, you know, buy them this, buy them lunch, spend some time with them. And every time God is speaking to you and you ignore His voice, what are you doing? You're strengthening self and weakening your love walk with God. On the other hand, I want to strengthen my love walk with God and others by stepping out of myself and dying to self. Amen? How about you? Do it even when it does not feel comfortable. The rewards eternally will be great. Now listen to this. I thought this was interesting. It's called From Bits and Pieces. The great violinist Niccolo Paganini willed his marvelous violin to Genoa, the city of his birth, but only on the condition that the instrument never be played. It was an unfortunate condition, for it is a peculiarity of wood that as long as it is used and handled, it shows little wear. As soon as it is discarded, it begins to decay. Awesome. The exquisite mellow-toned violin has become worm-eaten in its beautiful case, valueless except as a relic. The moldering instrument is a reminder that a life withdrawn from all service to others loses its meaning. Did you imagine that? If you withdraw your life from service to others, your life here on earth loses meaning. How many here want to build up wealth eternally in the kingdom of God? Building up their heavenly bank accounts. How many here will start stepping out of yourself to reach somebody less fortunate than you? One more. You never know who you're touching, friends. You may be touching the next person who can reach thousands of people. You could be touching the next Billy Graham with the love of God when you step out of yourself and you buy that person a meal, you give them a hug, you spend some time with them, tell them that God loves them, that you believe in them, that God cares for them. When you do that, that person says, man, there's something different about this person who reached out to me. I want what they have. And what you have, friend, is Jesus. And you never know. You might be leading the next Billy Sunday, Billy Graham, Oral Roberts to Jesus, who will in turn touch thousands of lives for the kingdom of God, right? Now, here's the story. In a remote district of Wales, a baby boy lay dangerously ill. The widowed mother walked 5 miles in the night and through drenching rain to get a doctor. The doctor hesitated about making the trip. Would it pay, he questioned? He would receive no money, and besides, if the child's life were saved, he would grow up, no doubt, to become only a poor laborer. But love for humanity and professional duty conquered, and the little life was saved. Years after, when this same child, Lloyd George, became Prime Minister of England, the doctor said, I never dreamed that in saving the life of that child on the farm hearth, I was saving the life of the greatest man in Wales. Isn't that awesome? You never know who you're touching with the love of God. This doctor stepped out of himself, touched Lloyd George, who became the Prime Minister of England, and he never knew that he was touching the life of the greatest man in Wales. We never know who we're going to touch, friends. The person you touch today may touch thousands and tens of thousands and millions of lives in the future. And guess what? Part of that gets credited to your heavenly bank account as well. Amen? I want to hear in eternity, "Well done, my good and faithful servant." How about you? Let's start stepping out of ourselves. And let's start forgetting about how much in need we are. Because there's somebody out there in much greater need than you. How many here want to strengthen their love walk with God and others? The way to do it is to put death to self by stepping out of yourself and reaching somebody when it's not comfortable. Amen?